the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
For communion this morning, I would like to share Psalms 103, verses 1 through 12. It's a psalm by David. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise him, his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals your disease, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all oppressed. He's made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Let's go to God in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can come around this table confessing to you our failures and seeking your forgiveness. We know that the blood of Christ will take care of those and be able to cleanse us of our sins. We just pray, Father, as we come around this table, that we do it in a manner that's humble, and we just come to you before seeking your forgiveness. Thank you, Father, for your Son, for the grace that we live under. Thank you for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen.
So I'm continuing my sermon series this morning, the ways of God. We've talked about how the ways of God are not our ways. When we think about some things that happen and we think, man, if I was on the throne, if I was God, I would have done it this way. We don't always understand why God works the way he works in our world, why he intervenes at times, why he doesn't intervene at times. We don't always understand that, but what we learned is, we can trust in God. His ways are not our ways. His ways, his thoughts are above our ways and our thoughts, and we can trust him. We've also noticed that his ways are holy, and we can trust him because of that. We don't have to worry about a God who's going to do something out of vengeance. His ways are holy. His ways are powerful. And today we're going to talk about the fact that his ways are faithful. A man walked into a photography studio with a framed picture of his girlfriend. And he wanted a copy made. He wanted a picture duplicated. But he did not want a copy made on a copy machine. He wanted a new picture made from that picture. And the owner said he could do that. And he took the picture out of the frame, and there was something written on the back of the picture. He noticed that. It said, "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I will love you for all eternity." And it was signed Diane. And then there was a P.S. "If we break up, I want this picture back." People don't always put a high priority on faithfulness. And even when they do, they often find loopholes. Somehow I can get out of being faithful. But the Bible teaches that God is faithful. 100% of the time. Reliable, 100% of the time. He does not fail, he does not forget, he does not falter. When we say God is faithful, we mean that he says what he means, and he means what he says, and he does what he says he will do. And the Bible reminds us over and over and over again, dozens and dozens of times, about God's faithfulness. Just a few examples. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. Your love, Lord, reaches the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory because of your love and faithfulness. And we could read on and on and on. The Bible gives us scripture after scripture concerning God's faithfulness. God's ways are faithful. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, let me suggest two things to you. Now, we could talk about a lot more when it comes to that, but I want to suggest two things to you this morning. Number one, God's faithfulness implies that his ways are unchanging. That is, God never ceases to be faithful. Psalm 105 says, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." And the Bible reminds us in Hebrews 13:8 that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's faithfulness implies that his character, this is important to understand, his character will never change. Because he is faithful, you don't have to worry about God becoming unloving. You don't have to worry about God becoming uncaring or unholy or unforgiving. You never have to worry about God becoming selfish or mean-spirited. In fact, God is so faithful that we tend, and we really do, we tend to take his faithfulness for granted. How many of you have ever been to Yellowstone National Park? Have you been there? If you've been to Yellowstone, did you see Old Faithful? Well, sure, you don't go to Yellowstone National Park without going to see Old Faithful. Now, Old Faithful is a geyser that is named Old Faithful because it's faithful in its eruptions. The park rangers can predict pretty much when it's going to erupt. Actually, they have a clock there, and they'll tell you 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, have a countdown when Old Faithful is going to erupt. If the eruption's a long eruption, then it might be 90 minutes till the next eruption. If it's a short one, then it's 60 minutes. They know this. It erupts about 17 times a day. Now, it's interesting. You know, the tourists will come, and they will surround the area where Old Faithful is, and they'll set up their cameras, and they'll wait there and ready in anticipation. They're excited about the fact that Old Faithful is going to erupt. And when it does, they're taking videos, they're clapping, they're shouting, they're amazed that it did this on time. It's faithful. It faithfully erupts every day. Now, close to Old Faithful is the Old Faithful Inn and Restaurant. And if you go into the restaurant, now since it erupts every 60 to 90 minutes, if you're in there to eat, there's a good chance that it's going to erupt while you're in there eating. So there are a lot of people that will go to the windows when it's close for Old Faithful to erupt. They have this big, big window area. And they go there because they want to see it erupt. Even though they're eating, they'll leave their table, go to the window so they can watch Old Faithful. The visitors do that. But the dishwashers don't stop washing the dishes to go see Old Faithful erupt. The waitresses don't stop doing their job to go see Old Faithful erupt. The cooks don't run out of the kitchen so they can see it again. Why? Because they have seen Old Faithful erupt many times in the past. It's old hat to them. It's routine. It happens 17 times every day. And they take this amazing feat. They take this amazing thing for granted. It doesn't excite them. It doesn't thrill them. It doesn't move them anymore. And the same thing happens to us. We take God's care, the way God sustains the world, the way God watches over us, we tend to take that for granted. How many of you got up this morning and the first thing you said was, "Air! I'm breathing air! God has given me oxygen!" Nobody did that. We need it. It's so important, but we just take it for granted. How many of you walked out of your house today and pointed to the sun and said, "Look, it's there again. It's keeping us warm. It's doing its job." When was the last time you looked at a bee and thought, "All right, you know, this is still working. It's still pollinating the plants." What was the last time you held hands and danced around a tree and said, "Oh man, the leaves are still taking in carbon monoxide and still giving out oxygen. Photosynthesis, it's so exciting." All those things are so important, and it's God's hand. God is doing that. God is sustaining the planet. but we just take it for granted. As amazing as it is, we take his faithfulness, that God is going to do this day in and day out. We take it for granted. These things are necessary for life, but they're predictable, they're habitual, they're routine. God is so faithful, and many times we take his faithfulness in so many areas of life. We take his faithfulness for granted. And we need to be careful not to do that. We need to see and we need to appreciate God's amazing faithfulness. So God's faithfulness implies that his ways are unchanging, but God's faithfulness also implies that his promises are sure. If God says something, you can count on it. Psalm 33:4, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is what? Faithful in all that he does. Psalm 145:13, your kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all that he does. Hebrews 11:11, and by faith even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Over and over again, we're told that God is faithful when it comes to keeping his word, when it comes to keeping his promises. You can trust him. He's going to do what he says. Now, all of us have had people who have made us promises and then they didn't do what they said they were going to do. Think about it. There's somebody that comes to mind, right? Some promise they made and they did not keep it. So on the count of three, let's yell out those names. The names, we better not do that. That wouldn't be good. But you can. That person made you a promise, they didn't keep it, maybe because they never planned on keeping it. They were out to deceive you. Maybe they made the promise, they had every plan in doing what they said, but something happened and they were not able to keep the promise. Whatever the reason, they did not keep the promise that they made to you. That will never happen when it comes to God. His word, his promises are sure. So let's think about a few promises that God has given us. First of all, God promises to help us overcome temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God knows us better than we even know ourselves. He knows our strong points. He knows our weak ones. He will not let us be tempted but beyond what we can bear, but he will always provide a way out. A pilot was performing. It was a small air show, and he was in a small plane, and he was doing amazing tricks, double loops and triple loops. And when he landed, a strut went bad, and he wasn't finished with the show. He needed another plane, and they had actually had a number of planes lined up there to be used that day. He jumped out of his plane, ran to another plane, and jumped in it. Well, a man ran up to him and said, you can't take that plane. Don't take that plane. And the pilot just ignored him, and the plane went up in the air. And the man said to the crowd standing behind him, that plane will never stand it. He's going to wreck. And sure enough, he did a double loop, and a wing fell off, and the plane wrecked. And a man said to this guy, he said, how did you know that was going to happen? And he said, because I made the plane. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He made us. He loves us. And he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. If we crash, it's because we ignore his warnings. Do you remember Archie Grandpappy Campbell, who played the doctor on Hee Haw? Remember that? They called him Doc Campbell. And one day, a person went up to him, someone went up to him and said, Doc... He said to the doc that his arm was broken in two places. And Doc Campbell said, well, don't go to those places. It's an old joke, but it's good advice, you know. If you are in a place where you are tempted, get out of there. And that relationship. Quit going to that bar. Get rid of that credit card. Don't put yourself in a place of temptation. Temptation is strong. but God is stronger. Do your part to remove yourself from temptation, and God will help you overcome it. He will not let you be put to a point where you cannot overcome it. He will provide a way out. Let's look at another promise. God promises us eternal life. 1 John 2:25, and this is what he promised us, eternal life. Now, it's very important to remember that John is writing here to Christians. It's not a promise to everyone. A preacher was talking to his little 5-year-old son, and he said, "Son, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven?" And the little boy said, "Yes, Daddy." And he said, "Son, if you got to the gate and God said, 'Why should I let you in?' what would you say to God?" The little boy said, "I'd say, 'Because I'm dead.'" Well, you can understand a 5-year-old boy saying something like that. But the fact is, there are a lot of people who think that they're going to go to heaven simply because they die. Everybody who dies gets into heaven. But that's not what Jesus told us. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it." Then Jesus tells us, it's recorded in John 10, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." So Jesus says, you know, there's a wide way, there's a narrow way. I'm the narrow way. I'm the gate. You got to go through me to be saved. And then in John chapter 14, the night before his crucifixion, he said to his apostles, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way that we can have eternal life. Are people from all religions in the world going to heaven? Not according to Jesus. Jesus is the only way to get to the Father. He made that very clear in the Great Commission. Mark 16:16, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." And of course, that's belief in him. So when God makes this promise of eternal life, I just want you to understand, it's not a promise in general to everyone. It's only a promise to those who have accepted him. It's only a promise to Christians. Now, you know, we're living longer in this world than ever before. Our life span has increased. This is amazing. James Vaupel, who is a leading population expert, says that a child born today has a 40% chance of living to be 150 years old. 150 years, that's unbelievable, huh? That's a long time. Not even close to eternity, but that's a long time. A child born today, 40% chance, that's amazing. We live longer than we used to. Women, on the average, live longer than men. The experts tell us that women today who are 65 and older have a 1 in 7 chance of living to be 100. That's amazing, isn't it? A 1 in 7 chance of living to be 100. Now, they also tell us a man over 65, they tell us, has a 1 in 12 chance of being killed by an annoyed wife. That's probably the most accurate statistic, actually. Eternal life. If your doctor told you that he has found the fountain of youth, and if you would drink this concoction that he made, that you would live forever, would you believe him? No. But God, who is faithful, God, who is holy, God, who is all-powerful, God, who is eternal, when he tells me that I have eternal life, I can be certain of it. I can believe it. And not only does he promise us eternal life, but he promised us eternal life in a place where there's no more pain and no more sorrow and no more crying. He promised us eternal life with Christians who have gone on before us. He promises us no death. Let's look at one more of God's promises. God promises to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now again, John is speaking to Christians here. He is not writing this to non-Christians. He is speaking to people who have been baptized into Christ, who have been cleansed by his blood, whose sins have been washed away. He is speaking to members of God's household, God's children, God's family. He already told us in 1 John 1:8, just a verse earlier, that if we, speaking to Christians, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Even as Christians, we are sinners. Basically saying, if you're a Christian, you have sinned, you are sinning, and you will sin in the future. But there's a cure for that. Confess your sins, and God, who is faithful, will forgive you of your sins. I heard about a couple that met and fell in love, and they wanted to get married, but they each held what they thought to be a dark secret they didn't want the other one to know about. Sally had terrible, incurable bad breath. Horrendous halitosis. She was never around her boyfriend that she didn't have a piece of gum or a mint in her mouth. She always swished her mouth out with mouthwash, brushed her teeth all the time. Horrible bad breath. She hid this from him, though. When she talked to him, she even kind of turned to the side. Even though she was using the breath mints, she tried to hide this from her boyfriend. Now, he had a similar secret. He had a tremendously bad case of smelly feet. When he was around her, he would never take off his shoes and socks because his feet smelled so badly. So even though they could not bear to tell each other these secrets, they decided to get married. They headed off for the honeymoon, and that evening in their hotel room, they both decided to make this momentous decision of not trying to hide their secret any longer. So she did not use any mints or gum or mouthwash for several hours, and he finally has taken off his shoes and socks, and he prepared for bed. And when he walked into the bedroom and sat down, she pulled him close, and she breathed heavily on him and said, "I have a confession to make." Tenderly, he put his hand on her shoulder, and he said, "I know what it is. You've eaten my socks." Unconfessed sin is like bad breath to God. It doesn't lessen the love he has for us, but it does affect our fellowship with him. Now, God knows all things. The Bible says he knows when I lay down, he knows when I get up. He knows all things. He knows when I sin. Why then do I need to confess my sins to him? Well, obviously, it's for my benefit. When I confess my sin, it means I am aware of my sin. When I confess my sin, it means I'm willing to admit that I have sinned. When I confess my sin, it means that I am aware that God is aware of my sin. And it means I know I need to repent. I need to change my behavior. God says he will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. With that in mind, remember this passage in Hebrews. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. These promises he makes us, and of course he has made us many, many more than what we looked at this morning, but these promises that he has made us, he is faithful. We can trust him. Eternity is ours. Our sins are forgiven. He will help us in time of temptation. As a Christian, I can be assured of all those things, because God is faithful. If you're here this morning, a part of God's family, you're blessed because you have a faithful, holy, powerful, loving God who gave a son that you could have eternal life, that your sins could be forgiven. If you're here this morning, God loves you, and if you're not a Christian, he wants you to accept his son so you can be part of his family, and those promises can be yours too. We're going to sing an invitation hymn, and if you need to make a decision to accept Christ, we would hope you do that today. The Bible says to become a Christian, we need to confess him, have faith, repent of our sins, and be baptized into him. We're going to stand and sing, and if you need to make that decision for Christ, if you come forward today, we can baptize you into Jesus. Let's stand as we sing.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.